Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight, but we want you to call in. 323-203-0815 is a number to dial to hop into the hot seat and get your questions answered by Dr. Pat Allen, because we're only here live on Thursday, even though you can hear us at other times on other channels, thanks to LA Talk Radio. We're here live with you, thanks to the Want Institute. And so, Dr. Pat Allen, you're live on the air.
Great, great. I'm ready to serve.
Okay. Well, how are you doing? How's everything? Oh, we've got a caller. Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do, Dr. Pat. How are you?
There he is. There's Brian.
Well, I do time to get in early if I can, and always grateful when I do.
So what can I do for you?
Oh, man, I've been looking forward to talking to you for a couple of days. So I don't know if it really, you know, my number one, she's still been very busy, but she still seems to be, she's still flirty and still seems interested in getting together, even though she's been very busy. So I'm not thrilled about that, but I still have indications that, you know, she's not avoiding me, but she's got some testing and other stuff to do. So I'm, you know, I'd like to see her more, but I definitely understand her challenges, and, you know, I can accept them, not forever, but I can certainly accept them for now. But that's not the big thing that happened.
Was there a big thing?
So, well, for me, it was a big thing. So with that in mind, the idea, oh, I'm not going to see my number one. I think a lot of people in the country know Whole Foods Market. It's kind of an upscale market, and they kind of have a nice lounge area. In fact, I've met at least one woman in the past there that I dated, and there's one near me, and it's, you know, it's nice, and it's got inside, it's got an outside area, food's good. Anyway, so I went there because they had TVs on. I figured, oh, I'll sit there and watch the game, and if somebody comes in to talk to, great. If not, I'm watching the game, charging my electric car. That's fine.
Good.
So when I walk in, it's pretty dead in there. But I do notice at the bar there's a woman that's got a jacket on that, I don't know, I don't need to get too much into the details, but that indicates that she is an elite athlete. Let's say it this way. And then looking at her, it's like, oh yeah, I mean, she definitely looks the part too. So that's definitely, you know, visually my type. But she's sitting at the bar by herself, and I'm not really good at going approaching people at the bar. And I kind of see her and get into some negative self-talk about it and say, all right, well, you know, I'm not going to do anything about that. So about halfway through the time that I was there, she comes outside, and I'm like, oh, she'll get on the phone. I probably won't get a chance to talk to her. And but she doesn't. And then she ends up standing, like, right next to me, not really looking at me, but standing right next
yes,
to me.
Yes, yes, so like, she's flirting with you.
I'm not so sure. Let me tell the rest of the story, but we'll
sure.
See. Okay, well, I'll tell you the rest, because there's a good amount to it.
Okay.
So then I find something to talk about related to the game. And then after that, she's very talkative, very friendly. And, you know, we end up talking for 2 hours. Very, very
wow,
nice. Very
wow,
nice.
Boy, you know what? You produced a lot of chemistry that 2 hours.
Okay, but I'm not done. I'm not done with the story. So I'm more interested in your opinion. I'm more interested in your opinion at the end of the story than now.
Okay.
So roughly, I'm sitting there in front of, my goodness, one of the most beautiful women. She's definitely in that category. And let me ask you this question first, your general opinion on it.
Yes.
So one way that I gauge chemistry is I'll do what I consider to be like incidental touching, like little just quick touches to kind of see how she reacts. What do you think about that in general?
I think that's just fine as long as it matures into real nice touching called making love.
Well, that's certainly the goal. But for me, it's like checking the oil on a car. It's like, okay, let's see how she responds to that. So I did that, and she seemed comfortable, and she did a little bit of it back to me, a little bit. But she also confessed that she had been through some trauma. We didn't get into that, so it also made me wonder, okay, is that part of her sauce? But again, very friendly, very nice, maybe a little more focused on her stuff, but we talked about some of my stuff too. So I said, hey, you love the same team that I love. They're playing on Tuesday. I could get tickets from my friend to go to the game. Would you like to go to the game? And she's very
right
excited.
On.
And she hadn't been to one of those games in like 15 years. So there's that. And she's like 20 years younger, which for me, in some ways, I would love to have somebody 20 years younger, because then the thought is, as we get older and I'm 90 and she's 70, I don't have kids. I'm the youngest one in my family. That would be nice. We'll see if it ever happens. So that doesn't rule out, I'm 51, she's 31. I believe she's 31. I think she said
that's
that.
Okay.
Right. So
how many times you go around the sun is immaterial as long as you're doing it more than 18 times.
Right, exactly. I don't know how much younger I would go than 31, but she's interested in that. We have stuff to talk about. I mean, I'm definitely interested in her athletic stuff. I used to work in sports myself, not in her sport, but it's interesting because it's very different than what I know of from my background. And she's pretty far along in it too. Possibly, but I'll continue. So we negotiate and figure out, the plans for going to the game on Tuesday. And, I do the Pat Allen thing. I say, she lives close by too. She lives very close by on the way to the game. So I said to her, and I showed her my electric car. So, she's interested in getting one day. I said, I want to pick you up. Would you be comfortable with that? And she said, no, I prefer to do myself. And I'm like, it would make it easier to do that way. But I'm like, okay, it is a first time getting together. So I'm not going to make a big stink over that. If she wants to take Uber or, one of those companies or drive herself, which is what she ended up doing, that's fine. As long as we can meet up before the game and go in together, because it makes it easier. So she eventually came to the restaurant nearby, and that was very nice. And she ran around and took a ton of pictures. She's definitely on social media and all that stuff, which is not one of my things, but she also has some things to promote there, and was just having a good time. She had a very good time at the game, and we were together probably for like 5 hours. But there were a few instances where she kind of almost, I touched her a number of times quickly. There were a couple times where I might have lingered slightly longer, and she kind of looked at my hand, And it seemed like it was in a negative way. I thought it was in a negative way because she certainly didn't reciprocate in those
times. You were having an attack of self-loathing.
That's because I was having an attack of self-loathing?
Yeah, that's norepinephrine, one of your neurotransmitters. Somebody in your past childhood said something negative that reminded you of this, or this reminded you of that, and you felt negative. See, that's the problem. We're so dependent on who raised us, whether it's schools or churches or politics or whatever, that we end up being characteristically negative. So are you always negative when people touch you and do things that normally would be considered non-negative?
No, but I thought that's what I was reading her reaction. Plus, let me put this out there too, is that I'm not sure she considered it a date, even though I got the ticket and I, paid for the meal and, showed her how to do all this stuff. So I'm wondering if she sees it differently as me. And again, the rest of the night was fine. We had a nice hug. I think I might have hugged a little too long. I don't know. Might not. But again, that could be my stuff, not her stuff. And
I was just saying that to you. Have you been raised negatively by friends, strangers, and family?
I would say that's certainly part of my upbringing. I mean, I definitely, I'm better at it now, but I think I've been more glass half empty than glass half full, in my younger years, but I think I've improved on it.
Okay.
But I realize that, that some of it could have to do with, wow, she looks like that. And, is she really going to go for somebody like me? And then, age differences and a bunch of stuff.
That's the negativity. There's a book called War Against Boys by a lady named Summers. And it's about the fact that if boys don't get respected by the time they're 11 years old with mothers, grandmas, big sisters, teachers, they get a bad attitude towards themselves, which is not true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's definitely, again, I've done work on myself. I think that stuff is better, but yes, that is old stuff that floats around for me. So
then would you please discount it as being possibly grossly erroneous?
Yes, I will certainly consider that. So
good.
It was almost like so much contact in the first couple of days. It's almost been overwhelming. Even today, I haven't had any contact with her. She's busy, so I might not reach out to her till Sunday. I did invite her. I have some concert tickets for Saturday that unfortunately I'm still trying to fill. I asked a bunch of people, friends and some women, but nobody's available, so I might not be able to use them, which is okay. So I asked her at the game, hey, do you want to go to the concert on Saturday? And pretty much the reason she said no was because she already agreed to help a friend. It wasn't no because I'm not interested in you. So I'm like, okay, I didn't get the indication that she wouldn't do she wouldn't do that. And I can almost imagine what you're going to say, but I've also had the thoughts of, I want to get to know her more, whether it's as friends or more. And I know you talk about even doing friends first. And tell me more about that. If I went the friends first direction with her.
The problem that people are doing today is they're taking a friendship and turning it into a sex match so fast that any little edgy thing is bigger than it really is. So I don't recommend too much heavy-duty sex maneuvering, but friendship is good because it's the natural way of nice people, especially dating, to get to know each other on a touch-talk level.
Yeah.
I think you're doing fine.
Well, good. It's nice to have that because I certainly, again, some of that old thinking has come back with the doubts. And, you know, I really don't know her. She knows me to a certain extent, even though really in like a 2-day period, we probably spent like 7 hours together. But you really don't know people. It has to be over weeks and months. You know, you can't attack too much.
I want you to date her. The first 3 months of a relationship are really months of friendship with periodic touching. And I don't approve of intercourse unless you're ready to make a commitment to monogamy, continuity, and long-term goal planning.
She has some long-term goals that I definitely approve of. So I think a lot of that stuff is positive. I did get that book on narcissism that you recommended, and I've been looking at it a little bit. I was wondering, because I had one friend who I described this to, because she took a ton of pictures there, and she definitely, you know, has her social media presence with, you know, her sport and, you know, some other, you know, like modeling pictures. But taking pictures and doing all that stuff, in some ways it seemed like she was looking to be respected and cherished, but like the you know, wanting to be, you know, have that kind of presence out
that
there.
Comes
do you
about
see that more narcissism or vanity? I'm wondering, narcissism or vanity in your book?
You will ask her that before you have intercourse with her. Do you want me to respect you, or do you want me to cherish you first?
I know my Pat Allen stuff. I'm gonna ask her a woman with a career.
The Pat Allen book is Getting to I Do, and I also wrote Staying Married and Loving It. So what I'm saying to you is, please use your intuition positively unless you get an absolute flaming negative rejection. Could you possibly see things in a positive light?
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for the pep talk, because I have not got that from all other channels. But I was wondering, because it might be really good for the show in general, the idea of female narcissism. We hear a lot about guy narcissism. How does it come out in females?
How does guys come out in females? She doesn't
no,
like
how does
would
narcissism,
you.
How does narcissism what? Come out if you are a female? You know, with.
It comes
how
out.
How can you spot a narcissistic
none of your,
female?
None of your eyes, none ideas, none of your ideas please her. She wants it her way. And the reason she does is that some bad guy, daddy, brother, first husband, somebody, did something that really caused her pain. And she developed a bit of man hate.
And I don't necessarily think that's the case with her. Although
I don't think so. But I do hear that you jump to negative thoughts about you when she doesn't absolutely grab you and drag you home?
I wouldn't say it brings up some doubt, but I was still planning to do the Pat Allen. Well, I already asked her out on a second date. She's not available. I was already planning to ask her out, you know, two more times. If she says no, and I'm fine with it being more of a friendly thing, and I'm fine, you know, going relatively slow on things. Because, again, we have things to talk about, including she brought up a subject that was in one of the John Sanford books, the one that I recommended to you, not one of the other ones that was kind of about the mind-body connection. So I wanted to talk to her about that. So I think that'll be interesting.
I like your leadership planning.
That's one thing I'm good at is planning dates with my number one. It's funny, this woman is another thing. When I'm with, and I have this other situation that was such a Pat Allen situation. So I was in a store and there was a woman in line in front of me and she stared at me pretty hard. And I was kind of evaluating her whether I was going to go up to her or not. Yeah, I thought she was a little bit older and I didn't act on it quickly enough. As she was leaving, I kind of went and then I let it go. So it was kind of she was definitely flirting with me. This other woman, I don't think she was, maybe she was flirting, maybe not. The other one I think was definitely looking at me, which was nice. That certainly happened to me before. Gosh, now I forgot the other question is, but that brought up a strong reaction in me. I did have some arousal going on, but at the game, I didn't have as much chemistry with this mega beautiful woman who it wasn't like there was the same pull, even though I mean, everybody was looking at her. I mean, for me as a guy, I enjoy it when I'm with somebody that everybody is looking at. I don't get jealous about. I don't get jealous in that way about it. To me, it's like to me, it's almost like it's a feather in my cap, so I don't mind it. But it was interesting that the woman really looking at me got a much stronger reaction. A woman I never talked to, as opposed to the woman that I spent 7 hours with, you know, who looks like a goddess.
Then you will decide which one of them is worth another date.
Well, the first one, the one that looked at me, I didn't get her number, so that opportunity is gone. I'll definitely, yeah. So that one, I wish I would have moved quicker, but yes, I definitely have at least two women I'm going to continue to pursue. And I did, and for these concert tickets, I had some other women that I asked, but timing didn't work out. So hey, well, I appreciate getting the opportunity to talk all of this out with
and
you.
And what did you learn? My message to you today?
My message is to stay out of my negative thinking, to be mindful that that's old stuff and it doesn't apply to the situation that I'm in now, and to, you know, continue getting to know her. And yes, I might turn positive things into negative things, but hey, you know, be open to the process. And hey, I certainly plan to keep my eyes open out there and see who else.
Men tend to pick women with their eyes for attractiveness. Women tend to pick men with their ears for his security.
Yeah, and that's another thing with her. She talked a little bit about actually she really didn't talk that much, but she is a very like self. I think she's pretty self sufficient from what I know about her.
I hear that you're becoming you, and she's becoming herself, and the two of you are learning about each other. Good for you.
Right. I always think I'm looking more for a convenient relationship than a covenant relationship, and I've always thought to myself that, you know, I would like somebody who could bring, you know, something similar to me to the table, you know, to progress. And she has plans to, you know, get a house and do some bigger things. So I like the idea of somebody who can bring stuff to combine with. My last couple of relationships, unfortunately, did not have that going on.
Then please observe what's going on when you're with her.
I definitely am. And hey, even if she says no and I never hear from her again, it was a great experience to go through it like that. I know it's building up my capabilities, either for her or somebody else.
It's good. And the least it will be a friendship.
Yes. And you know what? In dating, the way that I look at it is, in dating, I don't keep a lot of women as friends. There's one other one, but we have some really strong stuff in common and have tons to talk about. But we talked about the friends thing like a year ago. So usually women in dating, I'm fine. You know, once it's done, it's done. But if you have something really exceptional to bring to the table, it's like, okay, I think we can still be in contact. And this woman definitely has that. I don't think it would necessarily get in the way of me in a relationship with somebody else.
Remember, not only the table for food, but the bed for sex. Men need those things. Women tend to need a man to pay for them.
Yeah. Well, as I say, my number one, the one that I've already been on 3 dates with and is still very, very interested, and, you know, we're definitely making plans. It's more about finding time. She's the one that we have a very big food connection on. And I know we mentioned that. I this other woman, well, they're both self-sufficient women. Definitely. If anything, this my number one is older and is more established in her field. But, you know, it kind of did sort of apples and oranges comparing them. They definitely both have positive things going on. But the restaurant that I took, you know, this number two that I went out with Tuesday, she really liked that too. And it was very near the game. So who knows, me taking there for food and kind of directing her what she might like and her really liking it. I know that made a good impression.
I like it. That sounds good.
Yeah. Well, again, grateful to get the endorsement, because again, not everybody in my life is as positive as you are about it. But I actually have a friend who's older than me, who I'm also going to talk about. I don't think he knows about your stuff, but he is older than me and usually has women younger than him. So I might get a little. I'm certainly gonna run it by him too.
Please, do.
Yeah, he's always been.
He's your friend.
That's about all I had.
Well, we're working on getting a girlfriend.
Yes, my last one was a while ago, and yes, I definitely want somebody who's, the exclusivity and the continuity and the long term goals. And I see some nice things, but I'm still got a ways to go on that. I haven't met the person who's clearly that yet, but hey, some promising opportunities.
Good, congratulations.
All right. Well, thank you. I'll certainly know how it goes, and I'm sure you need your input along the way as well. You certainly have helped me get this far.
Please do. Okay.
Okay, Dr. Pat. Thanks again. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Thanks, Brian. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye for now.
Okay.
She's really developing. Hi, isn't Dr. He, Kelly?
He is. Hello. It's amazing. Hey, caller, you're calling Dr. Allen a question.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Call Pat, I have two questions. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. My first question is, I sent a Where Did You Go to a man.
Oh, did you really?
Yes.
Did he answer it?
Yes, he responded, and I wanted to know, I guess, the best way I should have responded. I feel like
I
didn't respond.
You mean he responded to your Where Did You Go, and
yes,
you didn't pick him up on it?
I don't feel comfortable with how I responded.
What did you do?
Okay, so let me read his text. So I sent him.
What did you say? You said to him. What did you say to him?
Right. So what I said to him was that I recall you wanted to share a homemade lunch once. Where did you go?
Okay, so you said you reminded him of a gift date he offered you and then never took it up. So you called him up,
right,
and said, you said this, where did you go? So I don't have any problem with that.
Okay, this is what he responded.
All right, now we'll see what the problem is.
Okay, so his response was, hi, it's nice to hear from you. I'm sorry that I have been silent. I needed a break. When my dad died, I was grieving. I don't feel like it was my place to be present trying to get to know you. But trust me, I thought about you. Otherwise, I hope you're doing well. And definitely, unless you got married, that cooking could still happen.
I want you to know that is as close to a love letter as I've heard today.
Oh, wow.
He said, I wasn't in a right attitude with my father's death, and I didn't want to bomb our beginning. And I'll call you. You have stimulated him with your Where Did You Go? And he's going to follow it up with intuition about him being ready to stop thinking and sadly worrying about his dad's passing. So I don't hear anything wrong. What do you hear wrong?
Nothing. I actually, now that you explain it, I feel really good.
Wait a minute. I got to ask you, when did he respond? How long ago?
He responded within minutes after sending the Where Did You Go?
How long ago was that?
Oh, this was mid-July.
Okay, because if it was like last week, I would have had you send him a message. Thank you for your lovely response to my message. I look forward to you feeling better and seeing me. But it's too long.
Oh.
It's the time between now and when it happened doesn't allow it to be another message, but you got enough. He did a beautiful job of message to you, and promising to reach out to you. And don't forget ritual gift cards, like Thanksgiving's coming up, Christmas. You see?
So, okay. So I can do that. I can do the ritual strokes.
That's right.
I did respond to that message, and he reached out again.
Oh, what did you respond? What did you respond?
Yeah, this is where I think I went wrong with this. So my response to his last message.
I will listen carefully.
Okay. My response was, I'm glad to hear from you, and I understand you needed time to process your loss. And then smiling, I was like, and no, I'm not married. And if I was, I wouldn't reach out.
Wait a minute. If I were married, what?
I would not reach out.
I totally adore what you're telling me you wrote. What did you think was wrong with that?
I guess, I don't know. I just feel like it wasn't as loving. I don't know.
I thought it was gorgeous loving.
Oh.
Were you raised not to appreciate yourself?
Yeah, I think I'm working through that.
Well, it didn't work that day because your message to him was perfect and beautiful.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
I would tell you the truth. I'm not that kind to lie.
Okay, so I guess all I can do right now is be patient if he reaches out again.
No ritual strokes for holidays.
And ritual strokes, okay.
Okay? And for those of you that are listening, rituals are holidays, religious holidays, political holidays, you know, whatever. Anyway, that's what you do for people that you've got a little interest with them, but you want them not to forget you with somebody else, right?
Right.
So give them a little text, you know, Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay. I can do that.
Okay.
Dr. Pat, can you ritual text for like a sympathy card?
No, that's a sympathy card. Yes, you mean to somebody you're interested in? Absolutely. What a wonderful ritual. I've heard or I've read that you lost your mother or whatever, you got it. I just want you to know, I don't know you that well, but I know you a little, and I want you to know I empathize with your pain. Are you there?
Yep, I'm still here. I'm still here.
And you can do it smaller than I just did it. But ritual strokes are not chasing him sexually or date-wise. It's acknowledging that you have a slight amount of interaction and that you want to remind him about it.
Right. Okay.
Okay. But has to be,
I like that.
There has to be a religious or a ceremonial or some kind of acknowledgement of something going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right, yeah, I can do that for sure. Thank you.
Good,
I had
good,
one more
good.
Question.
What's
if
that?
I have time. I have, yeah, this is I'm a different mask.
I'm on here until 6 o'clock.
Okay, thank you.
What state are you in? Wait a minute.
I'm in California.
Oh, you're in California. Okay. So it's 20 to 5 right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a second man has kind of done the opposite to me.
I recommend you date three till you get one.
Right. So this one reached out to me to see where did I go.
That's what I like. That's what I like. What did he do? How did he reach out? How did
he
flirt with you? Eyeballs and smile. I want to go over this for a minute. Flirting if you're a woman and want to be cherished, not respected, is you looking in their eyes and smiling, but not talking, because talking is too intellectual and masculine. And for you men out there, when you want to flirt with a woman and you want to be cherished like a girl, you look her in the eyes and smile, but you don't say, "Hi, how about we have coffee?" So many women complain about men not picking up the hammer and making a date. But the truth of the matter is there's so many masculine women out there that the men just sit and wait for women to chase them, date them.
Mm.
And then I end up teaching the women who want to be cherished. Do you want to be cherished or respected by a man?
Cherished.
Okay. Then please remember, eyeballs and smile, but don't talk unless you're asking. Do you know where the bathroom is? Men like to help.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're a man, please ask us out on a date and not wait for us to mother you. Got it?
Right. Got it.
For men, it's look, smile, and say something.
Well, and how do you do it if they reach out over text?
What do you mean? Well, nothing wrong with that. How did he reach out? Hi?
Yeah, he was just like, "Hi, it's been a really long time. I thought of you. How are you doing?" You know, and I mean, it had been years
but
since
he's
I've heard
right
from
there.
Him.
He's asking you to respond to his flirting. "Oh, thank you so much for reaching out to me. I'm doing blah or blah, whatever you're doing, good or bad. And thank you again. Hope to hear from you."
Okay, I can keep it simple. Okay.
Simple is good.
Yeah, simple is good. Okay, Pat. Thank
All
you,
right.
Dr. Allen.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, you can call me either one.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. 323-203-0815 is the number to dial to hop in that hot seat and get to talk to Dr. Pat Allen live on the air here at LATalkRadio.com. Empowered communication. And that's what we do. And if you're interested in learning the tools, join one of our groups. Reach out at info@drpatallen.com to see when we've got it available. Hey, caller, you are live on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Hi, Dr. Allen. How are you today?
Hi. What could I do for you?
I'm I'm calling because you once told me to let my man take care of my woman. I've had issues. I'm a caretaker, so I take care of other people. But when it comes to taking care of myself, I haven't been the best. So I know you have tools like setting your linemen.
Yes. My question. Thank you for mentioning that. Setting your linemen is before you go to sleep at night, get a piece of paper and a pencil and write three things that you would like to do, your body would like you to do, fun things, and three things that would help your business or your productivity, because your subconscious in the middle of the night, when you're falling asleep or waking up, your conscious and unconscious mind are working together. And for women, we decide what we feel good or bad about. Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want. Men get what they want by asking for it, not waiting for mama. Do you see? So what is it you're...
Right.
Go ahead.
So that brings me to my question. Women getting what they want by knowing what they don't want. Does that apply when I'm communicating with myself or creating my linemen? Do I go off of what I don't want or what I do
don't
want?
I don't want to avoid doing my linemen and setting my unconscious. There's a wonderful book, and it's called Subliminal by Mladenow, and it's all about your subconscious mind is, for us women, instinctively. Men run their lives from their intuition, which is the neocentral cortex in the brain. We do it with our neurotransmitters, like dopamine. Ooh, that feels good. Serotonin. Oh, that's comfortable. Oxytocin. Ooh, I love to be with him. My body loves it. Cortisol. Oh, I don't like him. He caused me pain. So here's what I want to say to you. Women get what they want by knowing what doesn't feel good wanting, because you have to be a man to want. Women look in eyeballs and smile. I've written another book, and it's called A Man's World of Things and A Woman's World of Energy. We women are in charge of oxygen, which is used for breathing and for talking. Men run their lives from their intuition, which is thinking. So, for that in mind, are you willing to be passive, patient, and vulnerable around men that you are looking in the eyes of and smiling, but not talking, unless you're asking them where the bathroom is?
Yes, I'm willing.
Can you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Men that want mama want you, but do you want them?
No.
Okay.
No,
women that want to be cherished signal men. Men have to be signaled with your eyes and smile, or they don't. A good man does not approach you if you act like you're lesbian or you're looking down and you won't look him in the eyes because he thinks you're either married or something. But when you look a man in the eyes and smile, he gets the courage to say, "Hi, nice chicken here. Let's have some." Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
If you want, in the book, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe, it's divided up into I-ness how to be an individual. We-ness, that's dating and marriage. Us-ness, that's family and friends. So the tools are all in there for you to use.
Okay.
You see?
Yeah.
So did I give you enough of your answer that you can use?
Yes, absolutely. I will.
What will you do differently?
Well, I think, applying, going with my feeling about what doesn't feel good to make the choices I need to make. Did I say that correctly?
When you see a man you're not interested in, look down.
Okay.
When you see a man you're interested in, look in the eyes and smile.
Okay. I think at this point, I'm wanting to make sure that I am taking care of myself so that I can feel better when I'm around the opposite sex. But I've been so just entrenched in like work and other people's lives that I'm not.
But that's masculinity. That's why I just have you got my, did you read my book, Getting to I Do?
Yes, I did.
And have you read it enough to see the part, there's a quiz in there that asks you questions to see if you're feminine or masculine or narcissistic, where you want to be feminine and masculine at the same time, which is called a narcissist, and whoever's with you is a zero.
Yeah.
Got it?
I definitely borderline, but I didn't think it was because I wanted to. I think I'm a natural woman, but I was raised by a woman who's a man. So I
fully
have to
understand
work on
that,
my...
but I'm a woman and I've written a number of books, and my God, I've helped women get married. One couple that were dating based on my spiritual things, they're getting engaged and having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
This community, I'm a transactional analyst.
Mm-hmm.
Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become masculine, feminine characteristics. Beware of your characteristics, it becomes your destiny. We've got to rewrite your script. And I'm starting out with don't talk when you flirt unless you're asking him for directions or help.
Got it. Okay. I see what you're saying. That's my first key step.
I want you to ask yourself this one question. What am I going to get out of doing this?
Okay.
And the night before, write down your Lyman degrees, which are, I want to have fun doing this, or I want to be productive doing this. Productive is masculine. Feeling good is feminine.
Right.
Men have masculine bodies, but they have feminine souls, the anima. Women have feminine bodies. We're built to receive. A man gives us a little tiny sperm, and we give him back 5.5 pounds of baby.
Right.
That's pretty good. So with that in mind, what are you going to get out of things that you do for other people? Now, if it's part of your living job, you're getting paid for it.
Right.
See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate your mother teaching you how to be a man, but you're also a woman, and I've got a book, two, three books, whatever, that you can use to mold your language into feminine.
Yes. Okay.
And it works.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Call again.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. All right.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
Thank you, caller. All right. 323-203-0815 is the number to call to get in the hot seat. Caller, you are in the hot seat now. Do you have a question?
Thank you, Dr. Allen.
Yes.
Hello.
Turn your radio down, my love.
What?
Thank you. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Caller,
hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me? Hold on.
I can hear you fine. What can I do for you?
My question is, I've been listening to you talk, and I read your book about...
Which book?
Not ask, Getting to I Do.
Got it.
And the thing about don't ask, let them ask the questions. I was recently having a conversation with a friend. He's gay. He said, all my girlfriends, even my married ones, complain that the men don't ask them about their lives. All they have to do is listen. And I said, well, Dr. Pat Allen talks about this. So I know you don't mean it literally, because eventually they have to ask about you, but is that just for the courtship, like the first 3 months of dating? Does that question make sense?
Wait a minute. Okay. Do you want to be cherished by a man?
Cherished, yes.
Then you have to respect his leadership. You have to smile, which says, I'm available. Come and get me. Here I am. So if you want to be cherished, you must respect this man for whatever he says or does, if it's something that feels good. Do you see? But
yes.
If you chase him and he likes it, he's applying for the job of being your girlfriend, not your boyfriend.
Okay. But I don't chase it. Okay.
Wait, I have nothing against, I'm going to say something. I have nothing against women wanting to be respected more than cherished. A lot of professional women are really good at being doctors, lawyers, surgeons, whatever, but they can't have a man that's equal man because equality doesn't allow them to waltz. When you want to be cherished, you have to be with the man that wants you to respect him so he can cherish you as a reward.
Okay.
But if a man wants to be cherished, I have no problem. Musicians make their living off their feminine. Artists make Einstein, Picasso, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, Paul McCartney, Frank Sinatra. These are all men that are left-handed or want to be cherished. They have a right to be with women that want to be respected, and they fit together fine. The only problem that happens that I see is when men drink or use drugs, they knock out their masculine and become feminine until they sober up. And when women, especially women eating sugar or drinking, when women use mind-altering chemicals, they knock out their feelings to become masculine. Go to any bar and you will see a drunk woman acting like a maniac. Right. And if you go to a church or a hospital, you'll see lovely, lovely doctors being smothered by nurses that are masculine while they take care of their clients. We all are masculine. We all are feminine. But when we want both, we're narcissistic, and that's what calls us to get two people. I need a man for my feminine, and I need a woman for my masculine. So,
okay.
Did you get, there's four people in every relationship, two men, two women, even when one's a man and one's a woman. Because men have masculine bodies, but they have feminine souls, anima. There's a wonderful book by David Sanford, or John Sanford, I think, and it's called Invisible Partners, because there are four people trying to waltz in a relationship.
Okay.
You see?
Yeah.
You want to give it a go?
Okay. Well, so it sounds like you're suggesting I might be wanting to be respected and cherished.
Well, then only respond to him when he's respectable. Say, oh, I really like that. You want to see me next week? Oh, that's wonderful. Reward people that are doing what you want them to do.
Ah, right.
Say thank you. But everybody's masculine, everybody's feminine, and we get to choose. Are you a career woman or a woman with a career?
I'm a woman with a career.
Okay. So you want to put a relationship in top drawer, right?
Yes.
So you're going to flirt without talking unless you ask for help. And you're going to gush and gush over any nice thing he says. And you're going to ask him what he wants and what you can do to help him get it, aren't you?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Can I have one more question about mansplaining? Similar.
Yeah, go ahead.
That man, you know, have you ever heard of mansplaining? When a man, it's like mocking men, which I've never been comfortable with. And I think it's just men trying to help us.
Wait a minute. Wait. But what was the word?
They call it man. It's a play on words. Instead of explaining, they call it mansplaining. And it's making fun of men who they like it. Some women feel like they're being talked down to. He mansplained it to me.
I understand that. And that's called today's world. Women today want to be men. Do you know that after the First World War, women took the kids and went home to their mom and dad while the guy was in the army, right?
Right. Yeah.
After the Second World War, women went to the office and got his job. Right?
Oh, right. Yes, right. Rosie Rivera.
And do you understand now that women want to be men and men are starting to want to be female?
Yeah, exactly. You see it. Yes.
Well,
yes.
That's... Have you read the section on I-ness and we-ness in the book Man's World and a Woman's Universe?
No, I'll take a look at that.
Please look at that because it tells the characteristics. Today, the favorite form of relationship is friends with perks.
Yeah.
There's a phrase out there that I hear men saying, I'm going to go see my baby's mama. Now, do you know that that's a baby she gave him, right? but yeah. he's not her man.
Right, right. Which is sad to me.
It's sad to me as well. Do you understand? I'm empathizing yeah. with you.
Yeah, yeah. I do. I do.
So my book, It's a Man's World, a Woman's Universe.
Yeah.
Try reading that because it's pure science. It's pure logic. It's pure tools.
Okay.
And it talks about men. Okay?
All right. I will take a look at that.
Good girl.
Thank you, Dr. Pat.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Call again.
Will do.
Thank you, caller. All righty. I am going to remind everybody that the One Institute is a 501c3 not-for-profit educational corporation. And I want to remind everybody that your donation to the One Institute keeps us on the air, keeps us operating, and is 100% tax deductible. So reach out to info@drpatallen.com via email to do that. And go to our website, www.drpatallen.com, and sign up for our newsletter. It comes out monthly, and it tells you all kinds of things about what we're doing.
Hello.
And our groups. Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes.
What is it?
Hi. Okay, so an ex-boyfriend really made me mad because he was so cheap. And I broke up with him, and I told him to please go find
someone else. Wait a minute. Why did you break up with him?
He was very cheap.
Wait, what was the word? I'm not getting the word you're saying. He was?
Cheap.
Oh, Frugal. Okay. He was cheap. So
cheap, very cheap.
We're either trying to get laid or paid. You want to get paid.
Yes, I want to get paid, and he's frugal and cheap.
That's okay. So what are you calling me for?
So I broke up with him, and I told him to please find somebody else, and I said it several times. And now my friend told me that he is dating someone else, and I'm really sad.
The one you dumped?
Yes. Now he's dating somebody else.
How many dates did you give him?
We were together. He was my boyfriend.
Wait a minute. Did you date him at all?
Yeah. Yeah, he was my boyfriend.
How long?
About 7 weeks, 6 weeks.
And you didn't give him 3 months at least?
No.
Would you see, the truth of the matter is I recommend that you flirt with three people rather than just one. That's too grabby.
Right.
And that you give them a period of time, passively, patiently, vulnerably, so that you can demonstrate your respect. What is the reason you now regret your mistake?
I don't like that he's with somebody else. It makes me really jealous and sad.
Yeah, but you didn't like being with him.
Yeah, but now that he's with somebody else, I'm mad.
Are you saying that when you're envious or jealous, envy is when you want them and you really don't want them?
Yes.
But jealous is a sign of territoriality. Did you give him intercourse?
No, never had intercourse.
Okay, you never had intercourse, so you didn't bond physically.
No, but
okay.
We did stuff. I didn't give him a blowjob though, but he was really good in bed. But I didn't give him intercourse. But I missed that.
Well, would you change your dating schedules to something? you will give him at least 3 dates to see if you have chemistry.
Okay. But should I then if you write a bi letter, or is it like no point since he's with somebody else?
But what will you do with him when you get him and he's still cheap?
I'll be mad.
See, the point is that you envy the lady that got him because you don't have anybody now.
Well, I do. I have one person. I need to find... I actually have 2.
Now, the one you've got, is he 51% valuable?
Yes.
Then what in God's name are you calling me for when you're committed to monogamy, continuity, and long-term planning?
Oh, no. The one I've got, we're not monogamous. He just started dating me.
You just started dating him?
Yeah, we're not monogamous. So I'm trying to get one more guy. There's one guy that I'm flirting with. And that other guy, he's the guy that I see mostly, but I'm trying to get one more. I met a guy in a meeting yesterday, so I think maybe him. But,
okay.
But I'm
are
still
you
jealous
really
of
a
the
narcissist?
Other guy that I lost.
Do you want a perfect human male who is respectable and cherishable?
No, I want to respect them.
You want to who?
I want to be cherished, and I want to give them respect.
Then what are your non-committables? What are the things that you cannot handle? You know you can't.
I can't handle when they're cheap.
Cheap?
I can't handle when... they don't message me enough when there's no affection.
So that's chemistry.
Yeah, but I like a lot of text messages. Like, my love language is words of affirmation. So I like a lot of communication.
A lot of text messages?
Yeah.
Most women like phone calls.
Phone calls are good. Either one. Text messages or phone calls.
Okay, but it's unusual for me to hear some woman say, I like, lots of text messages.
Maybe because I have ADHD.
But text messages do not trigger much in the way of feelings. It's like reading a dictionary.
Oh, I just like to hear from them a lot. I like to hear from them a lot.
So, would you be willing to try to get a boyfriend?
Yeah, I want a boyfriend. So should I just let the other guy go? He's with the other girl, and I don't want, he's too cheap for me.
Well, the other girl is with him, and they're a couple.
Yeah. You
yes
think
or
he'll
no.
come back? I think they're
not
they're
if he's
just
got
talking.
A girlfriend.
I think so.
So I can't predict this. This is off the board. If
you
dumped him.
Isn't it usually 8 weeks and he'll come back?
Did he just get the girlfriend just now?
Yeah, it's new.
Okay. So do you want to send him a hi-bye letter that says, I made a mistake?
Yeah.
Do you want that?
Yes, I do. I really miss him.
All right. Do you know the 5 steps of this hi-bye letter?
No. Can you tell me again?
I want you to write it down.
Okay. I'm going to write it down.
The first thing is the sentence. I'm writing you... mm-hmm. to share my thoughts and feelings about our relationship. That's
okay.
The lead sentence, okay?
Okay.
The first paragraph, small or big, is everything you like about him.
Okay.
Got it?
Okay, yep.
The second is the pain of the mistake of dumping him.
Okay.
The pain.
Okay.
The third paragraph is, I've reconsidered your value.
Okay.
And writing this letter in case you become available again.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
And then the last paragraph is, thank you for reading this text, mm-hmm. email, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And feel free to let me know yes or no.
Okay.
All right. Good.
It's gonna be painful.
Good luck. Good luck. What?
It's going to be painful. I have a feeling he's going to say no because I was mean to him.
I got news for you. You're going to get the answer, so you're free to move on or move in.
Okay.
Do you want the answer enough?
Yes, I do. It's really painful.
Okay, then please, as part of your lesson on don't be dumping people before you experience them.
Okay, you're right.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye, Colin. Thank you. All right. Let me see here. I'm going to talk to Sam, see if he's got some more calls for us.
Okay.
If he does, that'll be great. Otherwise, we will talk to someone.
Hello.
Hello, Colin. You are live on the air with Dr. Allen in the hot seat. Do you have a question?
I do. Hi, Dr. Allen. And
hi.
Hi. I'm a 60-year-old woman, and 60, I've been involved with...
60? 61.
61. Got it. Yes. And I've been involved with a married man on and off for the last 25 years, I guess. And
well,
how long? 25 years, on and off, on and off. Years.
You've been in a relationship for 25 years with the man?
A married man, on and off. On and
off. Wait a minute, a man who's what?
Married.
Oh, have you not related to men in the last 60-some years or done?
No, I've always had boyfriends.
Okay, what is your question?
My question is, I saw him in June of this year, and during this 25-year period, sometimes we would have intercourse and sometimes we wouldn't. The last time we had intercourse was in 2020. When I saw him in New York again this year, he mentioned that he would keep in contact. So for the last 45 days, he's been calling me regularly. He's supposed to visit me next week. My question is,
what is your question?
How do I'm not going to have intercourse with him. He's going to stay with me for a week. I'm not going to have intercourse with him. He's moved into his own apartment maybe a month ago now.
That's just fine. What is your question?
My question is, is this okay to do? Like, he's married. He said they're getting a divorce, but I've heard that before. But he has
his
own.
You told me he's at least a friend of yours, right?
Yes, I dated him when I was 16 to 20 years old. We broke up, and we've been on and off since that time.
You don't plan to have intercourse with him?
Nope.
There's nothing wrong with this. I advise you not to drink or use mind-altering chemicals because they will knock out your feelings of sanity and you'll be screwing him blind.
Got you. Got it.
Got it? But I have no... There's nothing wrong... I do not believe that it's bad to be sensuous, sexual, as long as you don't trigger your body into becoming addicted. And that happens when you let his penis get in your mouth, anus, or vagina, whereupon your pituitary produces a neurotransmitter called oxytocin, and you bond to him, bond like glue.
Yes.
And that can take up to 2 years to get over.
Okay.
So have I given you permission to have a nice, affectionate date?
Yes.
Have I warned you about wine and beer and booze?
Yes, and I don't drink, so that's good.
Mm-hmm. But I have no problem with affection.
Okay, even though he's married.
As far as I know, you were friends before he got married.
Yeah, way before.
So if he's a friend and you do not have intercourse with him, have you broken some law anywhere?
Not that I know of.
Do you know what you've really done? You've demonstrated virtue. Virtue. I'm positive. Have you ever had sex with him?
Yes. The last time was 2 years ago.
I am willing to bet any amount of money that he expects to get a free lay. If you do that, if you give him a free lay, you're not a virtuous woman. That's bad karma. Don't do that.
Got it. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Have you got your question answered?
I have. Thank you.
You're welcome. Call back.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, caller. Bye-bye. Okay. Let me see here now. Let me check in with Sam and see what's going on with our switchboard. In the meantime, 323-203-0815 is the number to call to dial in, get in the hot seat. We've got groups going on and filling up. We're filling for September now. Reach out to info@drpatallen.com to sign up for those groups and get on the list. Okay. Ooh-wee. Let's look at what our Facebook group has to say today. Alrighty then. Dr. Allen.
Yes.
I have a Facebook question for you. Are you ready?
Good. Yes.
I wrote a hi-bye letter to my boyfriend, who left me after 3 years when we were on our way to the altar. Our wedding was planned and arranged. Deposits were made and the like. 90 days before, he went broke and left. Not only did he leave me, he actually left the country. I was surprised to find out that the wedding was off 2 weeks after he disappeared without anyone being able to get a hold of him, including myself and allegedly his mother. I wrote him the hi-bye letter, and his response was that he could not and did not want to marry me or marry anyone.
Anyone.
Now then, it's been 9 months and he wants to come back. I'm very confused because I do still love him
However,
so get an engagement ring and a wedding date. Do not move to a foreign country unless you're engaged with a wedding date.
Well, she was engaged with a wedding date, and the wedding was 90 days away when he left.
I appreciate that, but if she wants to give him another chance, people make mistakes. If he's serious enough to give her an engagement ring and set a wedding date for a wedding, and she's dated him in the past, that's just the same chance anybody else takes.
Okay. She says, I am listening to you, and I will give it careful consideration.
But getting an engagement ring and a wedding date is, if he gives you that, he really is in love with you and made a mistake in the past.
Gotcha. Hey, we've got a live caller on. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, yes. This is one that I tried to see if it had been covered, but I couldn't find anything. So similar to not disclosing the requirement for exclusivity and continuity and longevity until a man requests intercourse, can you provide some guidance about the timing and some appropriate language for disclosing an existing viral condition like an HSV2 before, say, someone requests oral sex?
Have you read my book, Getting to I Do?
Yes.
Well, then read it again, because all of the directions are in there. Let's take all the directions. Ask me the question. I'll answer the question.
So if someone makes a request,
of what?
You would use a tool then for oral sex.
Yes.
To perform oral sex on you, what you call God.
I call that going down on your vagina. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. I once heard you make a quip about it.
I never said anything. I'm not a moralist. I'm a therapist. And I only care about the penis hitting the Bartholomew glands in the uterus, vagina, triggering the pituitary gland into producing gushy oxytocin, which is super glue at the short hair site. So I could care less if a man goes down on you.
Yes. Okay. Great.
Next question.
Thank you. That's great. Thank you. Yes, that answers.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Thank you, caller. Okay, Dr. Allen. My left side is out. My left side is out of adjustment. Is it my feelings that are messed up? Yes.
Well, the body tells what's going on, but it isn't. The left side, the left side of the body is considered, that's where the heart is, I'm not mistaken.
You are not mistaken.
Okay, but the left side of the brain is where the thinking takes place.
Correct.
So I only pay attention to things of this kind when, like, dream analysis. Because when you dream, see, it doesn't, like, I don't read bodies. Bodies are built to do their job. But in a dream, for example, Patricia Eltage has written a book after studying with me and other people, and it's called Dream Class by Patricia Eltage. And you can get more of when the left side says and the right side says, period. But what was I going to say now?
I don't know. Were you going to talk about Gabor Mate when the body says no?
When I think I've gotten screwed up in going two directions. What was the original question from the person before I shunted off?
Okay, the left side of her body is feeling out of adjustment. And she wanted to know, is that the feeling side of the body?
The body is feeling and thinking. The whole body is doing that. That is not something I deal with. I deal with that in dreams. That's where I shunted off into dreams. So I gave the recommendation of please read the book Dream Class by Patricia Eltage, because that tells me more about the subconscious mind dreaming.
Okay? Oh, very good. She says, thank you very much. She's going to do that. All right.
Okay, good.
So let me see what else we've got going on here. Check it in with Sam, see what's going on. And I will say 323-203-0815 is the number to call to hop into the hot seat. And we have another Facebook question. Question is, my mother wants to mother me and tried to demand, I'm purchasing a house. I'm 32 years old. My mother thinks my choice is bad and she's ridiculing me. I don't want to break contact with my mother. She's usually a great mother, but in this instance, she's irritating me, and I'm not sure what tool to use to talk to her.
Okay. Is this a man or a woman?
It's a young woman. She's 32 years old. Yeah, it's a woman, 32-year-old woman.
Okay, so it's a woman being masculinized by a mother. Because she's older than 18. Right?
Right. And the mother being parents and the girl, the mother's trying to force the girl into the child position.
Yes, she is. And that's not good for either one of them. So
right. And she says she loves her mother. She's a good mother. She doesn't want to break contact with her. But she needs a tool on how to talk to her about this particular thing.
So this is where I would suggest she write a hi-bye letter. Because it's
good, Dr. Pat. Can you explain it?
What?
She says, can you explain how you would do that to a mother?
A mother is no different than a father or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It's somebody you're writing a painful note to because she dominates you and she squashes you down into a floor. So The high bye is a letter that will open up the conversation. And in this case, it would be the first line is, Mom, I'm writing this letter to share my feelings about our discussions about my buying a house. I'm 30 some years old and I want to make my decision. But thank you for your suggestion. And here's what I want to let you know. I really like these things about you. Helpful, handy, loving, whatever. But it's very painful that you do not acknowledge that I'm 30 some years old and I'm not your child anymore. I'm a relative woman.
I see. Okay. She says, thank you, Dr. Pat. I'm going to write the letter and I'm going to say this. If after you write your letter and you are interested in having Dr. Pat review it, Dr. Pat does those special appointments for live scripts and for high buy letters. And how you get in touch with Sue to book that appointment is by reaching out via email to info@drpatallen.com. That's info@patallen.com. Dr. Pat, drpatallen.com. So that is
Did
that.
Did you want me to finish the directions or not?
Yes, Dr. Allen, I do.
Okay, so line number one is, I'm writing this to let you know how I feel about our relationship concerning my hope to buy a house. You've got to give her a sign of what this letter is for. Then the first paragraph is everything you appreciate about her. Then the next paragraph is the pain of her acting like a mother with you at 30. And then the next paragraph is what?
Yes, I'm listening.
Then the next one is, I don't want to be your child. I want to be your relative. I appreciate your offer, but I don't want to discuss my house any longer, but I thank you for your offer of helping me as long as you cherish my feelings. So write her what is a high bye letter that opens up the discussion on relative or mother's daughter.
Okay. There's another question. She says, I have herpes and I don't want to accept a kiss from anyone before they know that. What is the best way to share this information respectfully with a man? I'm a woman who wants her feelings cherished.
I appreciate that very much. Number one, it's against the law for you to have sex with any man or woman without informing them of your STD, sex transmitted disease. But you don't have to do it until you're engaged. It is nobody's business unless it's going to be a possible sexual partner. Are you there?
Oh, yes. I didn't want to interrupt you, Dr. Pat. I'm most certainly here.
Well, I see. I thought maybe I lost you. You know, the phone turned off. Okay. Anyway, I do not advise people to divulge things in the beginning of a relationship, but to absolutely not have sex with somebody if you have an STD problem.
Okay. All right. She's listening, and she says yes. Yeah. She says yes. She understands. Okay. And then we have time for a question. And, oh boy. Dr. Pat Allen. What?
Yes.
The holidays are coming soon, and I'm starting to get nervous. All of the Christmas and July sales have triggered me. Here's why. My husband is Jewish, born of a Jewish mother, and I am Catholic. It's pretty obvious that we don't celebrate the same religious holidays. We've gotten through a lot of the Jewish holidays I attend. They don't seem to be conflicting with my Christian holidays. However, last year there was an incident because he didn't want me to go to midnight mass, and I didn't want to go to the fifth night of Hanukkah at his mother's house. I want to be able to discuss this with him, but this is becoming a large issue in our relationship. What is the best way to approach him to discuss it? I don't want him to alter his religion, but I don't want to alter mine either.
Write on another high bye letter.
Love it, Dr. Pat.
The high bye letter is a respectful way to bring up a sensitive subject. And in this particular case, I think the best decision is no celebrating religious holidays together. Go on a vacation, take a cruise, do something, or do separate and celebrate it according to, like, divorced parents. You get him on Thanksgiving, I get him on Christmas kind of thing. In other words, negotiating comparable and meaningful nothing or something that is meaningful. You don't have to do religious holidays together to be married or to have a relationship. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, I agree with you on that.
What?
I see that it can be complicated. I know that my sister was Christian and my brother-in-law was Jewish, and it was a bone of contention for them for many, many years. So they did end up negotiating it and splitting days. Like, she would go to 3 days of Hanukkah and he would attend Christmas Eve. You know, so they did. Yes. They were able to negotiate it by compromising.
That's right.
So that's, yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, you know, your whole book is about negotiating and, you know, communicating. You got to communicate to negotiate, though. So that's a big one.
The last third of my book, A Man's World, A Woman's Universe, is for family problems. I, we, and us.
Yeah.
So I would read, because it puts tools in there, I would read it and use it for a high bye letter. Hi-bye letters are there to open sensitive conversations for negotiation. The stroke and stand is to say what you feel and think at the time a person's doing what they're doing, like smoking a cigarette in your house or something like that. It's at the time, but the hi-bye letter is for bringing up touchy subjects.
Yes, indeed.
In the book.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Or
it is. I love that chapter.
Are you looking at it?
What? I don't have it in front of me right. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I'm always referring to it.
Good. So with that in mind,
we're fast running up.
With what running up?
We're running out of time. I'd love to know what you have to say to our wonderful audience before we leave tonight.
I would like to say the only, repeat, only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to negotiate and keep.
Yes, using the tools is the best way to do it.
Okay, it was
Thanks
a great
so much
show for me.
www.drpatallen.com. Scroll to the bottom of the page. Sign up for our newsletter. Listen to History, Compatibility, and Communication. You get it there free right now. Listen to your heart's content, and you know how to find us on LTalkRadio.com. All of our archives are there. The One Institute brings us here to be with you each and every night. LA Talk Radio keeps us alive and bopping. We love you all. We'll be back next week. Until then, be safe. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.